Do you like to eat? I like to eat. If you know me very well, you'll not have to be told that I like to eat. Sometimes to a fault. Just this last week, I was on a business trip at a restaurant at a dinner, and I had it on my menu. I already knew what I was going to get, and the waiter came by and said, "Oh, by the way, we have some specials that I want to mention to you." And in that list, right at the very end, he said, "Oh, we also have the tomahawk," which was a 36-ounce ribeye. And you're saying, "Oh, he didn't. I did." I like to eat, and I'm not picky. There's a few things that, okay, wouldn't prefer that, but generally speaking, I like all types of foods, all types of choices. Now, some places, depending on what the situation is, the choice of what you're going to eat is given to you. If there is going to be a cookout, maybe, that the congregation here is doing, and it says on the flyer, "We're going to have hot dogs," or "We're going to have hamburgers," you don't go to that cookout thinking, "I hope they have lasagna," or enchiladas, or whatever it might be. Is this not working? All right, I'll try to stay here. Sorry about that. So, when you go to that, you know what you're going to get. The choice is made for you. Now, you flip that over to, say, a buffet, and you might think, "Ugh, buffets." I think, challenge accepted. I'm ready for a buffet. Or you think about the potlucks that we've had over the last month or month and a half. There is a reason, and it may be you, that David has to keep reminding us not to hop tables, right? And when you get in that line or close to those lines where there's three or four tables and you're sitting there thinking, which one? You're scoping it out. Which one am I going to go to? Why do we do that? Why am I even bringing this up? Well, you only have a plate that's so big, and there's only so much you can put on that plate. What are you going to put on that plate? Isn't life like that? Isn't life full of choices? It would be nice, at least on occasion, if our choices were kind of made for us. We wouldn't maybe have the same stresses, the same difficulties, because this is what I get and I deal with it. But life is not like that. Life is like a buffet. It's full of choices. Some of those choices are easy. They're good. Just like when you're in the line at a potluck, there are some things that are good, healthy choices. There are other choices that are good and great and maybe later not so good. There are other choices that you think, well, depending on your diet needs or whatever, you know that is not good. But it's full of choices. And you choose what is going to be put on your plate. And in life, yes, there are things that come up that you just have to deal with. But there are many things on our plate. It is our choice what we put on our plate. And we need to be clear right from the beginning. What is on our plate in life is not about our intentions. It is about reality. It's not, well, we'll get to this, or we want to put this on our plate. What's on our plate right now, what is in and on your plate in your life, is about reality. And it's about what is in your heart. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What's on your plate in life, with the choices that you make, that's where your treasure is. It is about the reality. It's about looking deep in your heart and saying, what is on my plate? So I ask you this morning, what's on your plate? If you turn to Luke chapter 10, thank you for reading the scripture this morning, the scripture reading. Luke chapter 10 came from Luke chapter 10. Let's read verses 38 through 42 once again, about a couple of sisters and a situation that they had with Jesus. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. This is an interesting few verses that discusses a little bit of maybe a family feud. But Martha, let's be clear, she's not doing something wrong. She's not doing something that you'd say, well, what is she thinking? Trying to prepare a meal. She's doing a good thing. Nothing is inherently wrong with trying to be a good host, with being hospitable. As a matter of fact, we're told in God's word that we should be hospitable. So much of life is not necessarily about just choosing between something that's wrong and something that's right, but there are choices that we also many times need to make between something that maybe isn't all that bad and something that is better, something that is more necessary. Getting those, quote, good things out of balance and out of order with something that is more necessary can actually turn out to be a bad thing if those come before something that is more necessary. We've got a big problem in the world today. And I fully believe that this problem is also infiltrating into our families, into the church, even in this congregation. David recently, in one of his lessons, touched on a very much a related topic about whether or not we are Christian consumers or are we Christian contributors. We're so busy in life with things that might not be bad in and of themselves to the neglect of the one thing that is necessary. The New King James Version puts it, the one thing that is needed. The one thing that is necessary is Jesus Christ. It is our Lord and Savior. It is our God. One thing is necessary. If we put everything else on our plate that, again, might not even be bad in and of itself, but to the neglect of Jesus Christ, we're harming ourselves. We're harming our souls. If we look back at Mary and Martha, why was Martha so bothered? I've seen a couple of sisters go at it when one's kind of doing something and the other's not. I've seen a couple of sisters go at it when neither of them are doing anything. It's not a pretty sight. So if you picture, I love you guys, if you picture Mary and Martha, I'm kind of picturing Martha. She's maybe looking around the door. She's in there trying to get things going with the meal, looking around, and Mary's just sitting there. Can you imagine? She's probably just gritting those teeth. Mary, this is just ridiculous. The frustration just keeps building and building and building. So much so that she's bold enough to say something to Jesus about it. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. She's telling Jesus, get her off the floor and get her in here to help me. She voices her frustration. But by her own doing, by Martha's own doing, she has put too much on her plate. In this case, by trying to put food on someone else's plate. And Jesus tells her, you are distracted. You're bothered. You're worried. You're frustrated by many things. Do any of those things fit your life today? Distracted? Bothered? Worried? Frustrated? Martha's just like us. But what she's doing is keeping herself from listening to Jesus. Focusing on Jesus was the necessary thing. And that's no different for you and me today. This text does not condemn Martha for doing something good. It's teaching about the priority of Jesus, the priority of God, the priorities that we need to have in the life of a Christian. And we cannot put God's teaching, put God's word on the sideline. We cannot put him in the back burner. Jesus also isn't saying that we need to neglect our responsibilities. Things come up. Things happen that we have to take care of. But what is on our plate? We know we've got things to get, but is that the focus of what's on our plate? What is on our plate? If we say with our words, if we say that we follow Jesus, if we say that we obey Jesus, but we're too busy to sit at his feet, to listen to him, to listen to his word, to study his word, to make our Christian lives the priority, then we need to make a change. You might say, well, what do you mean? Jesus isn't here right now. We can't sit at his feet. If I love God, if you love God, and you say you do, we can sit at his feet by just being a part of his word, being a part of this congregation, participating, being a contributor as a Christian. So I go back to the question, even if you are saying, well, of course I love God. I'm here. Of course I love God. I'll still ask the question, what is on your plate? There was a survey done several years ago by USA Today, or at least it was in the USA Today paper, that charted how much time was needed to perform the daily, what they called necessities, of life. What you needed to do every day. This is about how much the average person would need in time to take care of all those necessities. So for example, sleep, 7.5 hours. Exercise, 30 minutes. Personal grooming, 45 minutes. I think that was about 5 minutes for men, 1.5 hours for women. Cooking and eating, 1 hour. Housekeeping and chores, 2 hours. Work or school, 8 hours. And the list kept going, grocery shopping, time with your loved ones, children, spouse, etc. When all of those things were counted up and they added up the time that was needed in a 24-hour day, it was 42 hours. Does that sound like, that sounds like life, right? I need 42 hours in this 24-hour day to take care of the things that are necessary. The interesting thing of that whole list of the things that were necessary, never mentioned Jesus Christ. We have to stop trying to accomplish everything. It won't happen. You can't do it. There's not enough time. So stop trying to put more on your plate and focus about what actually is on your plate. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. So then, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God is clear. Don't be foolish. Make the most of your time and understand the will of the Lord. Mary was at the feet of Jesus, listening to his every word. We can still do that. I brought up the question, or you might be saying, well, again, I can't just sit at the feet of Jesus, but we absolutely can. God's word is Jesus. We can sit at the feet of Jesus. Let's follow that through. John chapter 1, verse 1. We've been talking about this on Sunday nights, memorizing this verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14 of that same chapter, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word. Jesus was God made flesh. And then if you turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we read that it says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. God has spoken to us and speaks to us through his Son, our Creator, the one we are accountable to. In and through Jesus, we have God's will. Through this book, through God's word, we have everything that we need for life. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. We can be just like Mary. We need and must be just like Mary and sit at the feet of Jesus. Ironically, it seems that the one thing that we tend to neglect because life is so busy is the one thing that is necessary. Necessary for ourselves and necessary for our families. We'll put off attending Sunday morning if we can find a good excuse in case somebody asks. We'll for sure put off perhaps Sunday evening, Wednesday night, because, well, show me where it says I have to be there. Or I've got everything else going on. We'll put off personal Bible study. We'll put off family Bible studies. What we've got to realize is that any time that we put towards spending time alone at the feet of Jesus, time with our family at the feet of Jesus, time with this congregation, with our church family, will never, ever be wasted time. And it is what we've got to do. If we say, if we use the words that we obey Jesus and that we love Jesus and that he is our priority, that is absolutely what we'll be doing. I've learned something, probably more so in the last couple of years than at any other time in my life. And that is that, generally speaking, it's fairly easy in most cases to know right from wrong. Now, it's much harder to live right versus living wrong, but it's easy enough to know what I'm doing is right or it's wrong, or what I'm potentially deciding to do. Where it gets tricky is this. What about those things that aren't in and of themselves wrong? I can do this. Nothing is inherently wrong about it. Why can't I? Why don't I? What about those things? When I think about what I put on my plate and say, okay, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, might be full of things that aren't in and of themselves wrong. But if they're not surrounding God as the first thing on our plate, those things can get us in trouble. What am I talking about? Things in life that are okay, but we need to think about, if we're thinking about them from a Christian angle, from a God-centered angle, such as things such as, where do I spend my free time? Who am I spending my free time with? Where am I going to go to school? What career choice am I going to make? Where am I going to work? Does it allow me to have God as my focus? Who am I going to date? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? You think, well, what are you talking about? You can go do that anywhere. Well, does it allow you to have God as the priority? If not, all those things that are not in and of themselves a bad thing can lead us to a place that says, oh, God's my side dish over here. Jesus is my side dish. And then all of a sudden, he's no longer even on your plate. When I was in high school, my passion was not grades. My passion was basketball. I know, you could tell from my height, that was probably where I was going. I loved basketball. And while I was not the greatest basketball player in the area, even, much less beyond that, I was on the court. So I loved basketball. I loved playing basketball. Now, there were several times, that because of tournaments, a basketball game fell on a Wednesday night. Now, as a 16-year-old kid, by the way, I was a Christian, not that that matters too much or not at that moment for the decision, but as a 16-year-old kid, I knew exactly what I was ready to put on my plate. Mom and Dad, this is one Wednesday night. Who cares? Maybe two, maybe three. It's not that big a deal. I can miss. Basketball was what I wanted on my plate. And I'll tell you, now, looking back, and even not too long after that, but as I think about it now, I thank God that I had parents that said, absolutely not. When I was going to say yes, my parents said, no. Our family's priority is God. And that had a huge influence on what I thought about my Christian life. Maybe not right then. And boy, was I upset with my parents. But thank God they said no when I would have said yes. Parents, it's okay to say no to your kids. And it very well could influence whether your children decide to stay with God in their future lives or not. It is important. We can use our time on a lot of different things. Basketball wasn't bad, but if it came before God, absolutely. Other things in your life aren't bad. But if we're putting them ahead of God, we need to rethink our priorities. People are losing their souls because of it. We're losing our kids because of it. If we're too busy with our TV shows, with our kids' sports and our kids' practices, with our work or with our school, with errands, with shopping, with hunting, with fishing, whatever it might be, those things are great, but not to the neglect of the one thing that's necessary. Our attitude too many times is, I've got all this stuff to do. There's too much to do. But if I have time, well, sure, I'll study God's word. I'll get to church. I'll find some way that maybe I can help out. But if we're honest with ourselves, you will not ever find the time. You've got to make the time. If you make God and Jesus a priority, you need to block the time. You need to make a commitment. And it will become easier because that becomes your priority. Is it easy to start out with? Is it easy to do? Do other things just constantly want to come against that priority? Absolutely. It's not easy, but it is absolutely doable. And we need to make that focus. It might mean some other things that were priorities have to be taken off the plate. Other things need to be put off. Things that might have been a priority can't make the schedule any longer. We might actually have to say no to ourselves. Wait, the commercial doesn't say that. It says you deserve it. You need this. You want this. And you should have it. We might actually have to say no to ourselves. We might actually have to say no to our kids. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Jesus says, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, this is the one who will save it. Martha was doing a good thing. But no matter how good the things are that keep us busy, if it doesn't revolve around God, we need to make a change. Going back to food, I love a good baked potato. You know, you get that hot butter running. I know it's getting close to lunch. You get that hot butter, cheese, sour cream, bacon bits. Load that thing up. I love roasted corn. Thinking about the corn roast. Love all that stuff. But that steak is going to be the first thing on my plate. What we put first on our plate matters. Jesus says, if I'm not first on your plate, this is a paraphrase, if I'm not first on your plate, don't bother. Let's not kid ourselves. Let's not play pretend Christian. If we're here on a Sunday morning, you say, well, look, I'm here, I'm all good, and we've checked that box. Is that really? What's on our plate? Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Let's see what Jesus says about that. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? The words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Leave me alone, you who practice lawlessness. Going back to my comment, it doesn't matter what you intend to do, what you want to put on your plate. What is the reality? Right now, in your life, what is on your plate? On the flip side of this, if we have God, if we have Jesus as that main course, that first and foremost on our plate, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. And this is the beauty of it. If we do that with all of our decisions, with everything we think about, what would God have me do? Let me go to his word, sit at the feet of Jesus. If we do that, look at the promise in John chapter 10 that we have. It's such a beautiful thing. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. How amazing is that? What more could we ask for? How could we not have God as our priority? Satan's going to come after us with every single thing he's got to say, get God off your plate. And he's doing a great job of it in the world, isn't he? He doesn't even have to work on the rest of the world because they've already got God off the plate. He's coming after you and me. And she had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet and was listening to his word. When was the last time you sat at the feet of Jesus? He told Martha, "You're too distracted, too worried, too bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary. You've got a plate in your hand called life. What is it filled with? Is Jesus first on your plate? Not based on what you intend, but in reality. When you search your heart, what's on your plate? Is it Jesus? Is it God? Is God your main course, or is he just a Sunday morning side dish? If he isn't, the wonderful thing is, starting right now, today, he can be. You can clean that plate off and put God first and foremost on your plate. If you're not a Christian, Jesus can be first this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you repent, you want to change, you repent of your sins, change your life, focus on God, get him first on the plate, and confess your faith in Jesus Christ, and then be immersed in baptism for remission of sins, you become a child of God. You have him first on your plate, and then live faithfully for him, not based on intentions, but based on reality. Or if you're a Christian that has had God just as a side dish, and you're ready to get him first on your plate again, or maybe he's not even on your plate anymore and you need to get him back in your life, focus your life on him, we also offer the invitation for you. So if you're one of either category and need to come forward, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.